you. Be in prayer for little Millie. This is your great grandbaby, right? Pray for her. She's got a bad case of constipation. Got her down there at Hurley Hospital. So pray for Millie. Just not the kind of condition you want to see anybody go through, let alone a baby. Pray for my dad. We had to take, mom had to take him to the emergency room last night. The food line, the feed line that they put into him began leaking. And it kind of reached a certain point where it was no longer, they were no longer able to ignore it or wait for the doctor. So they had to go in last night. The doctor did an adjustment. It still hasn't taken. So just be in prayer for him as well as for his cancer treatment as that continues. Pray for Amanda. They do have her back at the hospital down in Ypsilanti. What the doctor did is the doctor did an assessment. That doesn't seem to think that there's infection there. But what he is going to do is he's going to go ahead and he's going to go in tomorrow morning. I believe it's tomorrow morning. I know it's tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly the time. But we'll be going in to close that wound up the rest of the way, so no more wound vac will be necessary. That's, I believe, what initially caused this is the wound vac began to malfunction, causing a backup of the fluid, and that's most likely what they were looking at. So not entirely sure on all the details there, but be in prayer for her. She's been strong and brave, and poor Sherry's been through the ringer. So just continue to pray for them. And, of course, that night where they were trying to get some medical attention, I pile up and running most of the night, just trying to get that poor kid some help, and just be in prayer for her as well for that. Funeral is tomorrow for Ron. This is Bill and Bonnie's son. The funeral itself will be at 2 p.m. at Sharp Funeral Home, off of Miller Road. I believe the visitation for the open public is 12 to 2. So be in prayer for that as well as for the family. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I just pray that you take a hold of me. Lord, give me energy and strength, Lord, to be able to do that which you've called me to do. We pray for this this dear one, Millie. Lord, that you take away this constipation. Help her to do better, Lord. Just give her relief. We pray for my dad with his cancer, Lord, that you just protect him and heal him, Lord, and deal with whatever's going on with this feeding tube. Lord, we pray for Amanda as she sits for surgery tomorrow. Lord, I just pray that this be the final thing. That, Lord, after that, it's nothing but healing and wellness. Lord, I pray that you give her appetite and, Lord, the ability to eat so that, Father, she may get her weight back, you know, being at 91 pounds. Lord, I just pray that you put some meat on her, Lord. Just give her health back. We pray for Sherry that you continue to bolster her, Lord, up, lift her up, give her strength, Lord, and rest. Lord, I just pray that you bless that family. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to your word. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. And I'm in 9, but not 51. And it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. What we see here is a lot of things. Jesus is set to go to Jerusalem. It is now his time to go. He is prepared. He is set. He knows what must be done. The final steps are being taken before the sacrifice must be made. And as he is headed to Jerusalem, he passes by the Samaritan town. Now, you know this. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. The Samaritans had a bitterness and anger towards the Jews. Jesus sent messengers ahead, and oh, this could have gone any number of ways. It could have been when they say his face looked as though he'd go to Jerusalem, they could have said, well, he's got a face. He's got a Jewish face. So obviously he's going to Jerusalem. We don't want to have anything to do with him. It could have also meant that they saw the messengers pass by. Maybe they knew because of the messengers where he was heading, so they had nothing to do with him. Who knows? Either way, we know this. They didn't like him. and they wanted nothing to do with them. And the apostles, they got a little confused. At least James and John, they became confused, as a lot of Christians do, as to what our purpose is here. As the Lord would say, what our spirit is. We are not here to be better than the rest of the world. We are to behave better. We are to do better. We are to serve God better. We are to act better in everything we do. But we are not called to hold ourselves to a higher value than other people. Well, how do we know that that's what he was doing? James and John said, hey, Lord, do you want us to call down fire the way Elias did? Now, listen, I'm sure we've all been in those moments. We've walked into situations, we just go, man, we ought to just burn this whole place down. And we have heard of disgusting and despicable things that people have done. And it's easy for us to get our anger up, and it's easy for us to get our ire up. But we have to remember, we are not supposed to be rooting for the destruction of man. Because if we were justified in rooting for the destruction of man, then we are wrong for accepting salvation. How dare we be happy with what God has done for us and deny that of others because we view them as sinners. When God looked down on us, believe you me, he saw worse sinners than what we see around us. Our righteousness alone is referred to as filthy rags. That's the best we got. We may look down at other humans and say, you are a worse human than I am. But you've got to remember, it was a long way down that God had to look to see us. They desired the destruction of these men for simply rejecting Jesus Christ. We do not know what kind of people they were. We don't know what sin was prevalent among us. All we know is that they did not want to receive Jesus Christ. They didn't want to hear him. And they're like, well, fine. We'll call down fire and we'll kill them all. Which, again, isn't something Jesus allowed to happen. It wasn't something that Jesus ever advocated for. I think these guys were deep in their Bible study and they said, well, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this like Elijah did? They desired the wrath of God on others. And believe you me, the temptation is there. To where we would look at this world, we would look at their attitudes, we would look at the things that they would do, and we would say, absolutely. You know, I don't have a very high opinion of these abortion doctors. I don't have a very high opinion of these people who like to put children in hypersexualized situations. I don't have a very high opinion of a lot of people sitting in prison right now. Matter of fact, I think most of them deserve that. And I think we're too soft on certain crimes. I think we ought to be a little bit more liberal with the death penalty. But it is not ours to exact that revenge. It is not ours to go about doing that behavior. What is it that Jesus came to do? He didn't come to destroy lives. What does he mean by that? Well, first and foremost, he did not come down to earth to condemn men to hell. He didn't do that. Wonder why he didn't do that? Because they were already condemned. They were condemned already. We looked at that verse just recently. He didn't come to say, you're going to hell, and you're going to hell, and you're going to hell, and if you don't follow me, you're going to hell, but if you do follow me, you're not going to hell. No, that was already determined. It's already set. We were born destined for hell already. He didn't come to set that up to, all right, here's your test. You follow me, you're a good boy, you get to go to heaven. You reject me, you're a bad boy, you go to hell. That's not what his purpose was. His purpose was, because we were condemned already, he would die on the cross for our sins, taking that penalty. For who? For those who would believe. Well, how does he know how much to pay? It was foreordained how much there was to pay. He came not to condemn people to hell. We were condemned already. He didn't come to kill people or to make war. That's what so many of the Jews wanted. They wanted somebody to come and pick up the crown and put the Romans out to pasture. You know what I mean? They wanted a rebellion, a revolt. They wanted a Messiah to come that would be the king that Saul was supposed to be and would rule and reign over all these people. But he was not the God of blood. least not our blood. He served his blood. We see in those crusades were terrible things, and we ought to condemn them. Yeah, but are you saying that the Muslim people, what they were doing, are you saying that was right? No. I'm also saying it's not ours to pretend like we're soldiers. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If I could sneak over and I can give someone the gospel, that is my warfare. If I could teach someone the Bible, that is my warfare. It is not my job to put a gun in my hand and go retake an area and call it for God. God owns the whole world. He doesn't need me to do that. These people with their false religions and these people with their hatred against God, they are squatters on his land. They don't belong here. And I can no sooner take it from them than claim it for myself, because I cannot own this land. This is God's land. He did not come to bring physical destruction to the people of this world. They were condemned already. It was already foreordained how the world would end. God had a plan for all of it. It was not his job to rain fire down on the Samaritans. It was Jesus' job to come and die on the cross, to be that sacrifice for us. And contrary to modern belief about God, he was not here to destroy men's lives by restriction. So many people, that's what they think God is. He's a cosmic buzzkill. Everything you want to do, no. Do you think God looks down and he sees people with their promiscuous lifestyles and he sees them with their debauched practices and behaviors? Do you think he sees all these people at a concert where they got a young woman up there who's barely dressed and they're all bopping and jumping together? You think God looks down at that and goes, they're having too much fun, I better put a stop to it? No. That's not what he does. There are things that are good for us. There are things that are bad for us. And God tells us not to do the bad for us things. There are things that will destroy your heart and your mind. There are things that will warp your perception of the world. There are things that will make you more comfortable with sin. And God tells us to get rid of them and to avoid them and not to do those things. He is not trying to end our lives or make our lives endlessly boring by removing things the world says is fun. People go out and they drink themselves until they've pickled their liver. People say, "Well, you're just trying to be, you're just no fun. You're a buzzkill." Well, no, you're killing yourself. People say, "Hey, don't have a promiscuous lifestyle." And they say, "Well, who are you to judge us? And who are you to tell us that it's wrong? And by the way, pray for us. We've got HIV. Pray for us. We've got children whose dads are out there and we don't know whose dad it is. We don't know who the dad is. Pray for us. We've got this infighting between my ex-husband and my current husband. And they're arguing because of the custody thing with the child. And they got into a fist fight. Now they're both in jail. Pray for us. Oh, yeah, you tell us that drugs are wrong. I tell you, you gotta die sometime. I'm going to do what I want to do, and you don't have the right to tell me. But by the way, pray for me. I've done enough cocaine to wear out the lining in my nose. God's not trying to kill our fun. God's trying to stop the things that would kill us, both physically and spiritually. We preach against music, we preach against bad movies, we preach against these things, and people say, "Oh, you're just so square, you're just old-fashioned, you're trying to control people." It's not about control, it's about warning. It's about warning. Man, you sit there, you see kids nowadays, why are kids talking like this? Why are kids speaking about adult things a lot younger than they ever have before? Why? It's what we expose them to. Back in my generation, it was letting kids sit in front of the television and not caring about what they were watching. All of a sudden, something comes on that's incredibly risque. You got a 7-year-old sitting there. 7-year-old goes to school. He starts talking about it. You start having inappropriate conversations around the table with the kid in the living room. He hears those things. He takes that to school with him. And next thing you know, everybody's kids are talking about it because it's forbidden knowledge. And you know how people love forbidden knowledge. It's not just kids. It's adults, man. Eve herself got busted with it. Forbidden knowledge? I have me some of that. They put it in the music. They put it in. I mean, I tell you what, you look at the perception change from rap music. Remember back when rap music, some of you remember rap music when it first started coming around, people were like, these are terrible things to sing about. And maybe you didn't pay close attention to the lyrics, but maybe a preacher read them to you. Maybe you saw them on the news and you said that you're saying kids are singing this. This is ridiculous. And now you've got people sit there. They had it on the Super Bowl. I think it was last year. And people were like, oh, yeah, this is my favorite kind of music. Never mind what that music was saying at the time. And never mind the fact that it's 1,000 times worse today. And we go, what's going wrong with our society? Why are people like this? Why are teenagers growing up with the idea of being stoned out of their mind being a good idea? Look at what they're listening to. Look at what they're watching. And I'll tell you everything you need to know. He did not come to destroy our lives, neither by restriction or by physical destruction, nor by condemnation. But what did he say he came to do? He came to save them. To save them. Why? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Two things modern day Christianity is missing among all the other things they're missing is number one, the idea that God does love us. Oh, no, no, they talk about God's love all the time. No, 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 no. They talk about God's love in a different way. Right? I'll walk in and I see my kids doing stuff. I love my kids just the way they are. You following me? Every now and then I'll notice that they'll grow up and they'll stop doing certain things. Or they'll start doing more grown-up things. You know, I'll watch Melody do something and I'll sit there going, man, Gideon was just doing that 2 years ago. I sat there and, you know, before Gideon, I'm Caspian. Oh, man. Remember? And I sit there, I'll go through old photos. And I say, I remember when Caspian would do that. Oh, that's as wonderful, that's fantastic. And you know what? And I look over and there's, you know, there's Xander, 11 years old, knocking on a teenage door here in a couple years. Just, whew. I got a picture. He was wearing a little camo onesie. And I had won some kind of competition, got myself a hoodie from Cabela's, and it changed color, and I used to like to put him up on my chest, and the heat from his body would change the color of the Cabela's logo. Somebody got a picture of him doing that, except he'd come up and he's hugging my face. Just a little thing. I love my kids, but the way they were, they've changed. I love them the way they are now, and it's sad to see their old selves go, and it's exciting to see their new selves come in. It's a beautiful thing. That is the way the world sees God's love for us. That is not entirely accurate. God loves us like a rebellious child. God loves us like a broken creation. Now, for those that are saved, he loves us as his children. Absolutely. He says it multiple times. But when we say, for God so loved the world, it is not a come as you are, stay as you are kind of love. It is a love that gives all to save. It is a love that gives all to repair. That's the kind of love we're talking about. God loves. Well, if God loves us, why would he allow this to happen? Why would he allow that to happen? Because we ordained it to be so. Don't eat this or death will enter the world. And we said, yeah, but forbidden knowledge. And that knowledge burned us. Wasn't what we wanted it to be. And now we've got knowledge we wish we could get rid of. We wish we could forget how to sin. We wish we could forget about the sins we committed, or at least forget how to do the sins we committed. He loves us in spite of our behavior towards Him. So what did He do? He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. For God so loved the world. He loves us. He loves this broken world. He knows not all will be saved. Who do you think wrote the Lamb's Book of Life? He knows what names are in there. But again, the devastation of having completely lost this world, knowing that it would happen, knowing that it was necessary to save some. When we say save them, it is out of His love. And out of that love, He would die for them. He would die for them. That is a powerful love, isn't it? Not only just to die for us, but to rise again, to institute the church, to preserve it and protect it, to bring about the scriptures for us to have and to memorize. For after a thousand and some change years later, to save us still. To still be saving souls after all this time. That is what Jesus came to do. To save them. To save us. And not just to give us life, not just to save our lives, but to give us a life more abundant. It is nice when you feel the world falling apart around you. It is nice to be able to go to God and sit in His lap for a while. It is nice to pick up the Bible and glean comfort and excitement and knowledge and peace and joy. It is a mighty fine thing to be able to do. To give us life and life more abundant. To have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. I don't think I'm a good enough vessel for that. I get nervous about people giving people rides in my car. Well, hold on, let me clean out the Oreos and clean out the Cheerios and all the other O's that get stuck back there. Hit it with a little bit of air freshener. A little nervous. Turn over Melody's car seat, get an entire pantry out of there, yeah? I get nervous about letting people ride in my car. But the Holy Spirit dwelling within my heart in the secretest of places, that's terrifying, but it's an honor. And in that, I am given correction. I'm given the ability to read and interpret the Scriptures. I'm given help and connection to God in the way only the Holy Spirit can do. We are given a life, and that more abundant. As they're coming up with this brilliant idea to burn these Samaritans with fire, verse 54, and when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What we cannot forget is the sole purpose of Jesus coming to earth was a rescue mission. And as He's rescued each and every last one of us, it is our job to then turn and remember that this is a rescue mission. We get the wrong spirit about us. We get the spirit of fear about us. Oh, I don't want to tell other people. What will they think about us? What will they say about me? How will this affect my job? How will this affect my family? How will this affect the way people see me? I don't want to start a fight. I don't want to get into it. You cannot forget. This is a rescue mission. Could you imagine the Coast Guard being deployed to a shipwreck, and as they go into the water to rescue the people, they go, well, maybe not that one. I don't want that one to think, I don't want them to think I'm accusing them of not being able to swim. Not that one. They could get me in trouble. That one looks like a lawyer. If I touch them wrong, they'll sue me. You say, well, brother, we can't save them all. Well, in this reference, neither can the Coast Guard. We don't get to decide who survives. It is our job to go about the rescue mission and do the labor. We don't get to decide what happens next. We just go into the water. Some will expire. In a Coast Guard situation, hypothermia will take some. Drowning will take others. But you go where you're deployed and you do the work you're called to do regardless. We get like that. Oh, this doesn't feel like the right time. This doesn't feel like the right opportunity. We need to make sure we're taking every opportunity, because to be able to give the gospel to an elect is to be a part of snatching a soul from hell. We get too comfortable in our doctrines of grace. I love the doctrines of grace. I have taught the doctrines of grace. I do well defending the doctrines of grace. But the moment we put our feet up on them, we commit sin. And we have to understand that. Doctrines of grace explains to us why some will be there and others won't. Doctrines of grace has never been an addendum to our labor. It has never told us that we should do less. Go ye has always meant go ye. People give Paul a lot of credit for talking about doctrines of grace, but if you look at how Jesus taught, he taught it more. And at the end, the last words we get from him through the Gospels is go ye. And it is hard to go ye when you've got hatred in your heart. I'm not trying to put anything on James and John here, the sons of thunder. I wish I could have half the ministry they had. But I'll tell you this, the fact that these guys were Samaritans, it's a little suspicious. It's a little suspicious. We can't give the gospel to them. They're too dumb to understand it. Can't give the gospel to them. They're not part of God's people. Can't give the gospel to them. They're mixed breeds. They weren't born right. It's a little suspicious. You got to remember, there was one race that had no part of God's promises up until Jesus opened it up, and that is the Gentiles. That's you, me. Unless there's any pure-blooded Jewish people here I don't know about, that's us. We were the mutts. When he spoke to that woman, he said, "Don't you know the food is for the children, not the dogs?" That's us. We were the dogs. We were under the table. We rolled in the dirt. Right? Now nowadays we got fancy dogs. We've got dogs that get more expensive baths than most people get haircuts. Right? There's dogs out there that are sit up on a nice fluffy pillow. They eat lovely decontaminated and sterilized food, and they hate the feel of mud between their toes. That's not the kind of dogs they had back then. They didn't have poodles. They didn't have Pomeranians. Oh, man, that'd be nice. A hard time with Pomeranians, man. Pomeranians and Chihuahuas, they used to get me all the time. They had outside dogs. They had flea-bitten, near-close-to-wolf kind of dogs. They had ugly dogs. They didn't have the cutesy little clean, sterilized, put-them-in-your-purse kind of dogs we've got today. So when he called us dogs, you got to understand that's what we were. We were on the outside. We were ancillary. Always a part of God's plan. Don't forget that. But when we go to looking around at other people for where they come from and who they are, we need to remember we were all on the outside. Even the Jews can't sit there and say we deserved it. How many times they turned and walked away from God? How many times, as God would say, they played the harlot? There ain't a single race of men worthy of God's love. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Oh, what about their behavior? Too rich, too poor, from the wrong neighborhood, from the wrong kind of family? God will save them all. And I'll tell you what, me personally, I'm glad that God doesn't particularly care about birth certificates, nor parentage, nor lineage, nor background when he saves a man. And you ought to be just as glad. You ought to be just as glad. That God looks beyond the brokenness of the person. But he sees his children. When he's got an elect, he sees his child. And when he sees us who have been saved, all he sees is the blood of Christ upon us. A son or a daughter who has been adopted and brought in. Not a servant. Not a second class family member. Not an adopted cousin or second cousin. But a child. They were so ready to dismiss the people around them. So ready to dismiss these Samaritans. But yet I wonder how many of them after Christ died upon the cross, how many of them would come to salvation? The Bible doesn't say. Could have been none, could have been some, who knows? But we don't get to pick who God is going to use. And we don't get to decide who the Lord's going to save. I used to hear that every now and then. Well, a guy like that can't be saved. You ever hear somebody say that? Guy like that can't be saved. You know, they're just too stubborn. They're too pig-headed. They're just, Lord can't do anything with them. That's not the God I know. It's not the God I know. Now, there are some people I see out there and I go, whew. I'm not big on listening to the Gaithers, but the Gaithers had a stretch of songs about this guy named Jesse. Right? You guys remember that? Right? What was it? They baptized Jesse Taylor. Right? And then later on, what was it? Jesse wanted to sing in the choir. I think there was a third one somewhere in between. Right? And oh yeah, Jesse, I always put them together. I sent that to a text message to one of my friends. I go, do you think these are the same Jesse? And they go, no. Absolutely it could be. I mean, it's a song. I'm pretty sure it's just people singing a song, but I firmly believe that there are people out there that could be the absolute menaces to their town and to their city and complete disappointments to their family that the Lord saves and uses them to be active members in the work. And we need to act that way. We need to give the gospel that way. Now, that doesn't mean that we become foolish, right? We got to be wise as serpents. Harmless as doves. Right? There's just going to be some things. Well, hey, listen. Somebody comes in. We get this every now and then. Hasn't happened in a while. But you get somebody knock on the door. Hey, I need some money. Oh, I don't have any money. Had a guy probably towards spring. So I tell you what, I'll stay here inside the church if you want to go to the ATM and grab some cash out for me. I was born in the dark. Wasn't last night. We don't have to be dumb. I'll do this. You know, I think everybody needs the gospel. You ought to give the gospel. If somebody isn't completely and totally intoxicated, I don't give them the gospel. I'll wait. I'll come see you later. I'll give you a card. I'll give you my number. I'll come back to you. But I've tried that, man. I've tried giving the gospel to people who are just out of their mind. And there's no talking to them in that state. I'll come back when you're sober. We have to be wise. We can't sit there and, again, trust things that shouldn't be trusted or give particular liberties to people who don't quite need it yet. There's a reason why there are so many qualifications and so many descriptions that a person must be before they serve the Lord in any capacity. There's a reason for it. We honor those stipulations. We honor those qualifications. But at the same time, we cannot fail to believe that God would save anybody. Nor would we sit there and turn down our noses. Man, you look at this world. And I'm with many people. I'm ready to go. I know that as a conservative, I'm supposed to be fully backing one or the other, or else I'm not playing the game properly. But But I tell you what, I watched just a hair of that debate. And I ain't been this much embarrassed for my country since 4 years ago. I told you guys 4 years ago that it kind of felt like we were watching one of those old wrestling, back in the 90s, the old wrestling ones, right? Those old wrestling interviews that they would do. That's what it feels like. And I saw these ones. I go, here we go again. Where you're sitting there, you're hearing them talk and you're hearing them debate and you're hearing them fight. I'm sitting there going, I still don't know what you're going to do. All I'm supposed to know is that that person is bad and you're on my side and you're going to help me, but you don't know how. And then you see the people rattling and thundering. And oh, this is just the best. That's what we need. We need more government. We need more control. We need more of this. We need more of that. We need more people on the dole. We need more support for this and more support for that. And we need to be giving our children over to these perverts. And we don't need to know what's going on in our schools. Just go ahead and keep doing it. And that's what we need. And it bugs me. It bugs me. As much as we want to call down fire on the world, we got to remember this is a rescue mission. That we are to give the gospel and see these people turn from their folly and go to the Lord. That is our mission. To go about and give the gospel. Sure, many won't take it. Many won't have anything to do with it. Many will get angry at given the opportunity. What do you mean? I don't think it's that serious. It reminds me of some of the conversation that took place on the Titanic. If the people who made these quotes or wrote down these quotes or claimed that this stuff happened can be trusted, there was many who did not believe that the ship was going to sink, while it was indeed sinking. While the people were running around and the sailors, the people in charge of the ship were in a full panic, there were many people that said, oh no, I paid extra for the one that don't sink. Oh no, I'm first class, I'm fine. I'm with the good guys. You look over at this world, these liberals, that's what they think they are. They think they're the good guys, they're the compassionate ones. Why? Because we're taking a bunch of migrants and we're dumping them into small rundown cities where we don't have to see them and we think we're doing a good thing and we never look back on those cities to see what's taking place. We sit there and say, well, we're good people because we're trying to educate children to make them more comfortable with alternative lifestyles. So we are compassionate and we are nice. You are lying to them and you are benefiting off of them. Well, how are they benefiting off of them? Well, they're benefiting off of them. And number one, these people that are pushing the agendas are who? What do you see when that Pride Month comes through? What do you see? Businesses doing what? Rainbows everywhere. Now, why would they benefit from promoting that lifestyle? I'll tell you, it's the same reason why how they benefit off of selling Lions merchandise up here in Michigan. You following me? It's why they sell Tiger stuff in Michigan. Well, it's our team. If we show that this is our team and we support it, here you go. And if they didn't sell stuff, would we really be all that excited about the team stuff? See, it has to be a thing so they can continue to sell stuff. And what about the doctors? The doctors that are raking in tens of thousands of dollars taking parts off of children. Or pulling parts out of mothers. They're benefiting by selling them clothes and taking things out of their bodies and pumping them full of stuff they ought not be. Stuff we haven't even tested to make sure it's safe. Yeah. When I look around, my blood starts to boil. But you can never forget this is a rescue mission. When we read our Bibles, we must remind ourselves, this is a rescue mission. Somebody hung over that door in the office. You are now entering the mission field. Pastor Hugan used to tell me about an office that, I wonder if that was the office. That's just hitting me. Brother Hugan used to tell us about an office he'd walk out of. It escapes me now. You walk out those doors, you got to remember, you're entering the mission field. No, I'm going to the grocery store. No, you're going to the mission field. No, I'm going down to Secretary of State. No, you're going into the mission field. Well, I was just going out to get the mail. There's lost people out there. We cannot forget that this is a rescue mission. Well, the world feels like it's on fire. That's what you're here for, to save people from the flames. And don't get that statement confused. I'm not saying that it is up to you to convince people out of hell. You can't. It is yours to give them the gospel and pray that the Lord saves them. We've got visitors that have come. They've filled out cards. I've reached out to them. We've given them the gospel. I still pray for them. Lord, save them. Well, why? You only met them the once. And I'll be honest with you, if they just come in once and it's on a Sunday morning, I could bump into them at the mire tomorrow and not recognize them. It might take me a bit. Now, there's some people who've been here 3 or 4 times. I'll pick you out of crowd. I'll go get you. Man, if somebody's just here and they're out real quick, man, it's hard for me to remember who they are. But I pray for them. And we ought to pray for them. Man, these wicked politicians, these criminals, these people out there doing despicable things, we ought to pray for them. Had a thing happen just here in Clio, I think it was last week. Old social media went nuts about it. It was supposed to be some kind of hostage situation. The guns were drawn, stuff like that. Turned out later it was just because they were looking for a particular style of warrant or a sign off on something. Or like, there was no armed person sitting on the inside. They were just sitting there waiting for approval to go get the person. Oh, everybody got so worked. I remember that was when University Green down in Ypsilanti. They called me down to open a door because somebody that was wanted was on the other side of it. And they said, all we need you to do is show up and unlock the door. We're not allowed to touch the keys. We're not allowed to unlock it. We just need you to, and then get out of the way. Took them like 4 hours to get that warrant. I sat there for 4 hours praying for the person on the inside, praying for the police officers. Just, you know how it ended? The guy stepped out to go to work and saw all the cops. He's like, well, how long have you been out here? And they go, all night we're waiting for a warrant. He goes, you could have just knocked on the door. And we were on the third floor. That guy wasn't going nowhere. You know? Prayed for that guy on the inside. It reminded me, I was talking to Sherry about it, and I was, you know, reading that Facebook post, you know, about everything going on over there. I go, man, I remember doing that, just sitting there waiting for a warrant so I could unlock a door and then run like a scared little mouse. We're in the mission field no matter where we go, no matter what we do. And I remember walking away from that instance going, how stupid. This thing is foolish. Like, what? How backwards? Like, all of this, and the guy was just in there having his sleep. You know what I mean? He was in there, box of Wheaties or something, eating his breakfast, while they're out there huffing adrenaline, just getting ready to go in. And all it would have taken was just a little, hey, how's it going? Can you come out here and talk to us for a minute? The world can be crazy. Or it could be just as mundane as, oh, excuse me. Oh, all right, go ahead. Yes, sir. All right, thank you. Have a good day. It could be something that simple. Hey, listen, I'm Pastor Matt Rowland from Home Missionary Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you and your family out to church with us. Oh, there's a church you go to? Hey, what do you guys teach on salvation? I always heard it was like this. Is it like that? Well, now, there's some verses in there that says it's by repentance and faith alone. What do you think about that? I'd love to talk to you more about it. Why don't you come on by the church sometime? Love to see what you think. I want to make sure I know I'm going to see you in heaven. We don't have to wait in line at the grocery store anymore. We're in the mission field. This is a rescue mission. Let us never forget in all the ugly of this world, while we're not a part of it, we are called to bring people out of it. pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful for the day you brought me out of this world. The day, Lord, you called me and I heard your voice. I pray this, Father, that you'd continue to do so as the years go by, as we wait for your Son's return. I pray we continue to see souls saved. The Lord, we continue to baptize here in our church. And the Lord, we continue to serve you at all times. Help us, Lord, to do things right and to be of the right spirit, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.